two occasions in this week's parasha, which are either two separate occasions or the same idea reiterated in different words, Moshe Rabbeinu expresses his reluctance to be the shliach to give the message to Paro of releasing Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim. And the reason for his reluctance, for his hesitation, is that he is Naral Sfasayim, which the Rishonim, Rashi, the Eben Ezra, Rambam, and Josh Saran all make clear was a physical defect. And whether it was letters that he couldn't pronounce, or a lisp, or whatever the tutsal was, in one way or another, Moshe Rabbeinu's Aral Sfasayim meant that he wasn't able to express himself as well as he would have liked. Pliat Suma. Why did that bother Moshe Rabbeinu? Did Moshe ever entertain the thought that the only way that Paro was going to acquiesce to his request is if his oratorial skills were up to par? Did he really believe that unless he put on a good show, Paro wouldn't let Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim? And it was down to Moshe alone. We know that in the Haggadah, Moshe Rabbeinu's name doesn't appear because no one should ever mistake Yetzias Mitzrayim as having been done by Moshe. It was Ani Hashem v'lo achem. So why did Moshe feel there would be a problem in the fact that he was an Aral Sfasayim? At the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose him for the job, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that he was an Aral Sfasayim. So obviously, it wouldn't be a problem. If we're saying Posh would be a nais for it to have taken place, it was so difficult to understand Moshe that it would have been miraculous for Paro to have listened to Moshe, then why didn't Moshe ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to heal him? Ben Bachai says specifically that Moshe didn't want to be cured of being an Aral Sfasayim. What is it? What is the hesitancy then in the idea of Ani Aral Sfasayim? So the Maharal in Gevurah Hashem explains this idea with the Yesod, which really runs through Moshe's life and explains who Moshe was. And essentially, the Maharal says the following. Since Moshe's role was different to every other human being, since his level of nevuah was different to anybody else, he had to be different to everybody else. Perhaps to concretize this in the example of the main example of his life, Moshe Rabbeinu had to bring Torah into the world. Torah is infinite, and we are limited. We are finite. How would it be possible for a person who is limited, who is finite, to be kolat kol Torah kula? Not possible. And therefore, in some way, Moshe Rabbeinu had to be unlimited. Maral, his way he puts it is as follows. He asks the question, Eichoya, how could it be that Moshe, who was the person who was shlemus, who was perfection, who had all of the minus, yet he would be this Aral Sfasayim? So he says, Da ki mipnei shehaya Moshe rochok min hachomer, because Moshe was less physical, less chumri, we are a blend of the physical and the ruchni. Moshe had to be less chumri, less physical, in order to carry out his task. And the Maharal explains that we have various senses. the sense of re'iyah and shmir, the sense of sight, sense of being able to hear, work without us doing anything. We don't have to action them. As long as a person is awake, they can hear. They don't have to do anything in order to bring that into being. And as long as a person's eyes are open, they automatically see. Whereas when it comes to the sense of speech or of touch, dibur, or action, they have to be initiated by us. We have to do an action, we have to do something in order for them to happen. Therefore, Moshe, who was less physical, would be less prone, less able to speech, which is a physical sense. The way to understand this is in Kabbalah Sotera itself. Mishnah tells us that if a person makes a shura, neder, that they won't sleep for 3 days, they get malchus immediately. Why? Because it's impossible. It's impossible for the human being to go without sleep for 3 days. But Moshe Rabbeinu did so. 40 days on Har Sinai, 3 times over. Lechem Echalti, Mayim Lechasisi. He lived a life which is impossible. Now, when we were to make a neder that we wouldn't sleep for 3 days, we don't get malchus immediately because we've done something that is offer, but because we've done something that is impossible. The body will take over. We cannot control our body to such an extent. There is two forces at work here. There's the physical and the spiritual. And we cannot control our body to such an extent. We don't have that clear over our body. At some stage, the body will overwhelm us, will take over, and we will sleep even if we're standing up. Doesn't make any difference. In Moshe Rabbeinu's case, that didn't happen. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to live 40 days without food, without drink, and without sleep. It's not physically possible. Which means that Moshe Rabbeinu was not the same as we are. And the Maral explains that this is the same idea as the Gemara in Nidah in Perek HaMarpeles, that when a child is about to be born, the Maral says, "Bom Malach v'sosrei al piv." Gemara says this. Malach comes and hits the child on his mouth. U'meshakach mimenu kol hatera. By giving the child the ability to speak, the fact that until that moment in time they had all of Torah is taken from them. The two are two sides of the same coin. A person who has the ability to speak is by definition more physical and therefore cannot be kelik kol ha-Torah kula, because kol ha-Torah kula is something which is infinite. And having the power of speech shows that you are finite, that you do things which are more physical. Moshe, who remained with Kol HaTorah Kula, has less of an ability to be physical, has less of the ability of speech, and therefore in the physical sense is an aras for science. The balance was not 50-50 with Moshe. There was a positive sense of imbalance, because that was the only way he could carry out the task that he had. And the Maral says this also explains the Gemara in Sotah. Gemara in Sotah, Daf Yud Daled, where Gemara we are all familiar with, a story we're all familiar with. Gemara says, "Ukvasholch Malchus Harisha." The Romans sent a messenger to Gistro Shel Beis Pa'er, the governor of the Beis Pa'er on the other side of the Yarden. "Heruni Heichon Moshe Kavu." Show me where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried. And the Gemara says, "Omdu lemala, when they stood on top of Har Nevoi. So Nitma Lahem Lamata. It appeared that Moshe was buried at the bottom of Har Nevoi. And then the other way around, Lamata Nitma Lahem Lamala. Wherever they stood, and even when they split into two groups, the perspective was always wrong. Maral explains that it doesn't mean that we couldn't find where Moshe was buried, because if the Torah meant by Lo Yoda Ish Es Kvurosei that it was a secret, that the geographic location of his cave was a secret, then the Torah wouldn't have given precise locations for his cave. Maral says that Moshe, from the perspective of us, the human beings, from Lamata, it appeared to us that Moshe was Lamala. But if he wasn't quite like us, whereas from the perspective of the Malachim of Lamala, Nidmalem Shul Lamata, he wasn't quite like the Malachim either. There was a certain area, a certain Bechina, in which he was different to us, and in many ways, he was therefore like us. Moshe Rabbeinu was the bridge between Shamayim v'Aretz. That's exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu's function was: to bring a Torah from Shamayim down to Aretz. In order to be that bridge, a person has to have a chelek of both. Or else that's what it means, Ish Olekim. Now, this idea can be very misunderstood by people who see these things on a superficial level. We're not, Lahavdil Elav Havdolis, talking about these Greek ideas of a demigod, of somebody who's 50% a god and 50% of human being, chas v'sholem. These are ideas which are completely off the track, but they come from somewhere. The idea is that Moshe Rabbeinu in a certain way was unlimited, and that area was the area that allowed him to be kalate something which is infinite, which otherwise would have been impossible. And this same idea is related to the name that Moshe Rabbeinu has. If you think about it, given that Moshe Rabbeinu had 10 names, Aviezer, Avisochai, Avigdor, it is strange that he is known by the name Moshe, when 9 out of the 10 names relate to Moshe's bringing Torah into the world. Avisochai means he is the father of all the Nevi'im, all the people who will see. All of the names that he has relate to Torah itself. The Chayra, we should call him by that name. That's who he was, the person who brought Torah into the world. Why is he called Moshe? A name given to him because of an event. In order to save him, he was put into the Nile and taken out. It was a particular one-off event in his life, and that's the name that we all refer to him by exclusively. Why? So once again, the Maral, this is the Maral in various places, Maral explains that everything in the world is made up of two parts, two definitions, so to speak. Everything is raw ingredients, what is called chomer, and those raw ingredients are taken and given a shape. You take a piece of wood, which is the raw ingredient, and you can turn it into a table, into a chair, into a pencil. You give it a shape, you give it tsura. Everything in this world is an ingredient, is raw material, which you stamp upon a shape, an image, everything. Chomer, which is given a tzura. Of all of the things that we interact with, that which has the least amount of shape, the least amount of tzura, is water. Water takes on the shape of whatever you put it in. You put it in a square box, it's square. You put it in a round receptacle, it's round. You pour it on the floor, it just runs wherever it goes, till it comes to a state of rest. Water is the personification of matter, of chomer, of the raw material without shape of its own. Or also that's why mime is always a plural. So to speak, it doesn't have its own metzias, it doesn't have its own individuality. It is posha, wherever you put it. There's no self-respect. Also, it's just whatever it happens to be at that moment in time. Torah, on the other hand, is the personification of Surah. The purpose of Torah is to give shape to everything in the world. The world sits there without a tachlis, without a reason, without a goal, until Torah comes into the world. Torah gives everything that exists a purpose. The chinuch on the mitzvah of Bal Tashchis explains how even a grain of mustard has purpose. Once Torah comes into the world, and based on the idea that Adam HaRishon was told la'ovdo l'shomra, everything in this world you have to do something with. Torah gives shape to everything in the world. Since Moshe is the one who brings Torah into this world, Moshe is that individual. Moshe is the one who therefore brings Surah to the world. If Moshe is the one who brings Surah and water is the opposite of Surah, water is just the raw ingredients, then kiminamai meshisiu, being taken out of the water, is not just a one-off event in Moshe's life. It defines who Moshe is. That's who Moshe Rabbeinu becomes. The person who's the antithesis of just raw ingredients. The person who lives in order to give shape to the world. It is Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, says the Maharal, we now understand why Moshe's downfall had to come through water. Because Moshe is the opposite of water. And therefore, in Mitzrayim, Moshe had to remain as distant from Shiva's Mitzrayim as was possible. If he had to be the one who redeemed us from Mitzrayim, then Eved can't redeem himself. He had to be somebody who was completely unconnected to Mitzrayim in order to be the one that brought us out. But Moshe Rabbeinu felt that there's no point in him speaking to Paro, because if he is somebody who is so distant from Mitzrayim, then there's just no way of getting through to Paro. Paro lives in this world. Paro and Mitzrayim were virtually the epitome of Chomer itself as well. That's why they were destroyed through water. But if Paro is so shakua in Chomrius, then Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to get through. Moshe Rabbeinu being an Aral Tzadassayim, literally, as we said, the Rishonim say it's literal, but it's literal only because it starts from a Ruchni perspective, and therefore how is he going to get through to Paran? And Rabbeinu Bachai says that's why he didn't ask to be cured, because it was Matana from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gave him an ability that nobody else had. And that was his question. For us, our lives are different. Moshe Rabbeinu, we are told in Parshas Kisisa, just before the Parsha of the Eger, Vayitein el Moshe kechaloise ledavi ite. Moshe was given as a matana the whole of Torah. That is not what we are supposed to be doing with our lives. Well known the idea, the event that the Vilna Gaon was offered be taught Torah through Magidim Min HaShemayim, Malachim, and the God refused. He says there's no amelus, there's no blood, sweat and tears in being given Torah free, in somebody giving you Torah. Kotzke used to say that our dream is to learn the whole of Shas in one night, and ideally to get a good night's sleep on that one night as well. Meaning that we'd like to just have Shas. There's no point in that. Our purpose is to acquire shas, not to be given shas. Imbuchu kaisai teleichu shetiu amelim batera. That's what we are here for. To actually work at acquiring Torah. But that was not Moshe's role. Moshe was given Torah by Yitain El Moshe. Torah was given to him. That wasn't his job. For us, though, we have to take all of who we are, our Kleach HaDibur, which we do have, and we have to use it, the Tov. Golas Mitzrayim is Golas HaDibur. Why? Gemara Nedarim tells us why were Klal Yisrael given the Shibud Mitzrayim? Because Avraham Avinu said Bameh Eda. Now, the Gemara gives three reasons. This is Shmuel's reason, but the Rosh makes quite clear, and Chazal make it quite clear that Bameh Eda was the cause, the other two were the contributory factors perhaps, but because he said Bameh Eda, he brought about Shibud Mitzrayim. And how did Moshe say he understood the reason for Shibud Mitzrayim? When he saw the two Jews quarreling with one another, Moshe says, "Oche noida hadavar." So Rashi brings only part of the Medrash. But the Medrash says he understands now that they are mesaprei lashon hara, then he understands why Golus Mitzrayim is ongoing. That is Golus Mitzrayim, Golus Hadibur. How do we celebrate Yitzias Mitzrayim? It's the only time in the year that there's a mitzvah say on a parent to be mechanach their child. The way we undo Shibud Mitzrayim is through Dibur. It came about through Dibur, and that's how we undo Shibud Mitzrayim. It doesn't say our job, unlike Moshe, is to take this world, which is a blend of Tzura and Chaima, which is a blend of the physical and the spiritual, and to use it, to use all the physical in this world as well. Moshe was slightly disconnected from that. Moshe's job was to bring something infinite into the world. And as such, his Kleach HaDibur was limited. And that also explains something which we are taught as children and doesn't really make any sense. We are taught that on the night before Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael overslept. Somehow, Klal Yisrael woke up late for Matan Torah, which is very difficult, if not impossible, to understand what that means. Whole of Klal Yisrael overslept. The fact that there were even Yidden who could fall asleep the night before Matan Torah doesn't make any sense. So the idea is an idea based on an Ari which we are all familiar with, and that is that while we are asleep, our neshama is less limited by our guf, and therefore our neshama is able to be matzig, to appreciate ideas and concepts in Torah which it couldn't during the day while it's limited by the body. Our neshama virtually leaves us. Shech zar tobi nishmati. That's what we say every morning immediately. And sleep is a 60th of death. There is a sense in being asleep that we are disconnected from our neshama somewhat. Which means that in certain ways we can achieve more asleep than awake. We can be massive greater depths in Torah while we are asleep than while we are awake. And therefore Klal Yisrael deliberately went to sleep. As the way to start Kabbalah for Torah, they wanted to be Mekabel Torah the highest possible level. How do you do that? By being a Mekabel Torah in a way where the body will be the least obstruction to absorbing Torah. So what was wrong with that? What was wrong with that is that's not our job. Moshe Rabbeinu's job is to be a Mekabel Torah in the highest level. Moshe Rabbeinu's job is to be on Har Sinai for 40 days. our job is to be awake and absorb Torah. And that's why, Dafka, that's what we do on Shavuos night. We stay awake and learn Torah. That's our role. Not Moshe's role, but it is our role. And this idea that Moshe is different to who we are is also seen in a Medrash, the beginning of Devarim, where the Medrash points out a contradiction. Sefer Devarim starts with the words, Eila Devarim Asher Diber Moshe. And Medrash says, in last week's Sefer, Moshe says, Lei Ish Devarim Anoichi. I am not the person who's able to be, I'm not the person who's as capable of Devarim as capable of speech. And suddenly we find that Moshe is capable of speech. How's that possible? So there is a machlokes between the Drosh Haran. There's one mahalach, the Shlo's mahalach is that from the moment of Matan Torah, Moshe was cured of being a Rav Tzimai. Drosh Haran says no, it's not the case. Proving it from Eila Dvarim Moshe Diber Moshe only in Sefer Dvarim. The Shlo Meshiv in his Droshes Ala Torah explains this theorem. And he says that as long as Moshe was giving over Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe had to remain an Aral Sfasayim. Moshe had to be somewhat infinite, somewhat outside of the physical world. As long as he's giving over something which is infinite, he has to reflect that infinity. He has to in some way be out of this physical world. He has to be an Aral Sfasayim. Because in the world of Machshava, in the world of Machshava, we are unlimited. Right? We can think about things which are an impossibility. It's only when you concretize it into the physical world that you become limited. So as long as Moshe was giving over something which is unlimited, he had to be connected, he had to be a bechina of being Ishraelikim. But Sefer Devarim is where he's giving over the Torah that he has now absorbed. It's Eila Devarim Shedibar Moshe. Although it obviously came from the fact that he'd been Mekabel Torah and taught Torah, but the Maisa, these words are being given over not of Yitzivu Yashem. And therefore at this moment in time, what he's doing is giving over something which is here in this physical world. And therefore it can be Dvarim Asher Diber Moshe. No longer something that is connected, so to speak, to Shemayim, that has not been yet brought into this world. And the truth is that the whole of Sefer Shemayim is this idea of being a bridge. Ramban, in his Hagdama to Sefer Shemayim, says that if Shemayim is Sefer HaGu'ula, so Shemayim should finish. B'shalach, Efshu Parshas Mishpatim. Why did it go through the building of the Mishkan? And the Ramban answers, because in order to go from Avdus to Chayrus, they had to end up with real Chayrus. And that is having a Mishkan with Hashras Hashchina. The whole of Sefer Shemayim is that bridge, starting it as an Eved and finishing it as a Ben Chayrin. Ben Chayrin because they have Torah, and the Ben Chayrin because they have Hashras Hashchina. And since the whole Sefer is the Sefer of Chayrus, we understand something that occurs at the very beginning of the Sefer. Yosef, the last pasuk in Sefer Bereishis, is the fact that Yosef dies. Yet in pasuk Vav, 6 pasukim later, we are told that Yosef dies. Why do we need to be told this twice? Nobody has forgotten this piece of information. The answer is that just like Sefer Shemayim is that bridge between Avdus to Chayrus, Yosef was also a bridge. If you think about it, there were 3 Avos. And how many Shvatim? Well, sometimes 12 and sometimes 13. When it comes to Chalukas Haaretz, there are 13 Shvatim. Menashe and Ephraim have their own Chelek. Which means that Yosef is on the one hand one of the Shvatim, yet he, unlike any of his brothers, creates 2 Shvatim. So on the one hand he is a Shevet, and on the other hand he brings about two shrotim, which makes him an av. That's the function of Yaakov. So what is he? Is he an av or is he a shevet? He's both. He's the bridge. When we're going from Maisa Ovois to Simon Lebonim, Yosef is both. Sefer Breishis is Maisa Ovois. So in Sefer Breishis, we have to finish all of Maisa Ovois. So we have to recall that Yosef died. On the other hand, since Yosef is also Simon Lebonim, is the beginning of Klal Yisrael, we have to write that Yosef died there as well. And therefore, when the Pasuk records it the second time, in the beginning of Shmei, it doesn't just say that Yosef died. It says, Vayomas Yosef v'chol echov. Because there we're talking about Yosef in the beginning of being part of Klal Yisrael, as opposed to Yosef being in the beginning of an av. So it has to record it twice. The very beginnings of Sefer Shmei show us that this whole Sefer is the bridge. And the essential part of that bridge was Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe, who connected Shemayim to Oren, who was able to connect the infinite to the limited, is therefore the person who has to have a bechina of both, and therefore he has to be the person who is the Aral Sefer.